I'm Theo Von. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly with my co-host,
Matthew Cole Weiss. Hello there, and today we have a special guest.
Just the way you said special makes me feel like I must be cognitively impaired. needs.
That's where it started, as far as I know.
Those are some big words.
Yeah, Dr. Drew is here with us. Dr. Drew Pinsky, thank you for joining us, brother.
You bet.
Yep, we're excited to have you. And Matt, did you explain the way we break it down here?
Yes, we break. Well, Hal did.
No, I got it.
He's got the breakdown. So,
and you and I know each other from the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
We do, and thank you guys so much for having me.
And thank you for filling in for me. I'm going out of town for a couple weeks, so
it's
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, he's good to everybody except me and Bruce.
Okay. Yeah. So. But we're happy to have you here today. We're going to start with our round one.
Yes.
And you're going to be the judge. Matt, are you ready?
Is there a scale for my judging, or is
this
all up to me?
It is based on whatever criteria you want.
It's free form, everything about
this. Free form. You can award points left and right if you want, or you can deduct.
Is there something for the winner, something for the loser?
Just an HJ or two.
No, there's no HJs. Matt wins a lot, I think, because we bring in a lot of guests that kind of pander and cater to some of his natures.
What does that mean? What
I
are
think
my
we
natures?
We bring in like a lot of liberal guests.
All right.
Let's say that.
Well, you're pandering for a vote right now.
I'm not pandering at all.
Just by saying
this
that.
This is all subliminal messaging.
Apparently.
Works. Manipulating. Yeah. He's very manipulative.
Oh, I know.
I might be. I don't know if I am or not. It's amazing. All right, round one, 3 minutes on the clock.
All right, I'll go first. So this is kind of a hygienic story, but it's also kind of something out of character for me because I do suffer from some kind of like germophobia of a sorts. Like I do. Not like Howie Mandel bad, but like I've always had issues with it. I don't have pets for that reason. Like I just can't. So I went to South Africa on a trip with my brother and we were on a safari, which was really cool. And you're in this, you know, the truck and you're driving around and you with all these other people who come from different places in the world. And we were with a bunch of people from England. Well, the non-European England now.
I don't like the British, but go on.
Who have gone on safari many times. So there's an animal called a kudu, which is kind of like an antelope sort of thing. And they poop. Yeah.
It's not a racial slur. Okay, good.
No, it's not a racial slur.
Okay.
They poop like kind of like pellet, like kind of like ball bearing sort of things, like little pellets. Kind of like
paintballs, like a duck.
Like bigger rabbit poop. Yeah. And so they told us, this British family, that what they do every time they come is they have like a watermelon seed spitting contest, but with the kudu poop.
Wow.
You put the poop in your mouth. And you spit it as far as you can, and whoever wins, wins. And so this is like, I've had some things in my mouth, but never anything fecal.
Really? Okay, good. It's good to know, actually.
Probably fecal adjacent, but never anything fecal.
Fecal adjacent.
Rim fecal.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I think about it. All right. So anyway, so I was disgusted.
But like, also, curious to see if you can learn something to bring back to West Hollywood. That's a new bar game.
the kudu poop?
Yeah. You wanted to win this contest bad.
Yeah, exactly. I've been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother was with me, and we all did it, and we put it in our mouth. And
One at a time?
Yeah, one at a time.
Pussy.
And then the first time I did it, when I kind of like tried to spit it out, it kind of like crumbled in my mouth. So it was definitely like, and I was like, but then by then I was so committed and everyone was like, go, go, go. So I had to pick up another poop, put it in my mouth and spit it out. I didn't win the contest, but I did it. And I was so paranoid for, I'd say the next 2 days that I had caught like, I don't know, Zika or Ebola or something. Cause I'm sure there's stuff in poop that's not good.
Yeah. Like poop.
Like poop's not supposed to be in your mouth. That's something very out of character.
Haven't you seen what dogs do with it?
Yes.
That's true.
And I stay away from them.
That's a party snack for them.
So I had poop in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, I always kind of knew you did, and I'm glad you finally.
How far for the winning spit?
It was the British. They can spit their poop pretty far.
Was a guy that looked like a bulldog or something?
It was a woman. It was the mom who spit it the best. Like she kind of like, you know, did the whole like her body went backwards,
yeah.
Inhaled, and she spit it out far and I mean mine was kind of like the old lady from Titanic throwing the thing in the water, like you know, that's really what my poop was like. It was like and then I was like oh. So
Wow. Okay.
Make some notes here. Give me a piece
of paper. Okay.
Drew Pinsky is tabulating over here.
All right, your turn.
Well, interestingly enough, dude, I actually brought a feces story today.
No, shut up.
I am not even joking.
It's you, Dr. Drew.
I can't wait.
You bring the poop out of us.
Well. So years ago, sometimes you get invited to like celebrity golf tournaments or celebrity things like that. I'm sure you go to a ton of those. Do you play golf?
No.
No.
So I don't go to any of those.
I did just see a picture of you with Goldie Hawn at a
Oh yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I got invited to this Randy Moss Invitational fishing tournament, right? And this is when he played for the Minnesota Vikings. Randy Moss is a African American football player. Matt doesn't do anything about that. He thinks Randy Moss is probably like a new color of paint that they're offering at Sherwin Williams.
Adam put him up, Randy Moss's picture, next to like there was some baby dinosaur. It looked exactly like him.
Oh, from that show, The Dinosaurs, probably.
Something like that.
That TV show, that claymation dinosaur that they had.
It was like more like a puppet kind of thing. And it was like, yeah,
that
made
sounds mean.
Yeah, it's not, but it was striking how much Randy looked like.
I know exactly the hairstyle that he probably had and the one you're talking about. So it was a fishing rodeo, and there were some unique celebrities there, like Roy Jones Jr. was there, the famed boxer, a lot of football players. Lindsay Lohan actually was sleeping in the hotel room across from me. I actually put a note under her door.
No, you did not.
I swear to God, I did. I was like, if you want to hang out, I'm staying across the hall. I'm kind of like a handsome guy, right? She never hit me up, but this was during the time, you know, like...
Maybe this was when she was into the women.
Yeah, who knows what it was going on. But anyway, so fast forward, we go out to this fishing rodeo, and I grew up fishing, but like fishing from the bank, you know? We didn't have a boat. You know what I'm saying? We're not going out in the water, dude. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to risk drowning to get the fish when you can get them from the side. Mm. So... So next thing you know, you're with a professional angler and with a sponsor. So you're out on the boat. So you have to get there at like 5:30 in the morning. And I stayed up partying. They had a party the night before. And it was like basically a bunch of brothers just parading around their white girlfriends, right? And it was cool, man. I respect it. You know, like if I was urban and an athlete, I would definitely have a beautiful white girlfriend, right? But I'm not. I'm just a basic white man. And so I don't get that privilege.
Okay.
So anyway, moving forward,
white privilege does not include the white girl.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore, dude. I'm hustling thicker Persian girls over in Westwood. Okay. And I'm babysitting the Bichons to prove it. They all have a Bichon.
Okay.
But anyway, moving forward. So we partied late the night before, man, and I was really, really drunk. Got up in the morning. You have to be there at like 6:30. I get to the boat launch. And next thing you know, they're like, all right, go. All the boats take off. So we're out there about a half hour. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, I'm like, when do we go back? And the guy's like, oh, we're out here for about 5 hours. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? We're out here for 5 hours, bro? And I can just feel my bowels just fist fighting, you know? They're just like, oh, they're just getting randy and just real fired up.
Because we're talking to number two you had to
get. Yeah, I'm talking about number two, right? And I had to stop fishing because if I jerked the thing, I literally was going to just blow out of my rear, right? So at some point, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom, guys. And like, oh, we'll just pee off the back. We'll look the other way, right? So I have these two thicker white guys that are my teammates looking the other way, and I don't have to pee. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what to do, dude. So I literally just took my pants off and left them on the boat while these dudes are looking the other way and like laid in the water and like held on to the edge of the boat and just went to the bathroom. And I remember the investor, just the money man, he one minute he turned around and looked, because you could hear some of it kind of come to the surface a little.
Like and, a logfish.
It was chumming up. Yeah, I was chumming up. And he looked back and was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this kid doing, dude?
Wow.
Just literally just passing the buck right out of the
feeding the fish.
Oh, dude. But after after that, I still didn't even catch a fish. So I not only did I not help the team all day, but I just blew a bunch of dung into the water.
In both of our stories, neither of us won. Like, we're both losers in our stories.
Dude, we're just losers.
You are both losers, but one must win today.
Yeah, yes. One must win today, and that's my time.
Before you pick a winner, I did want to ask.
Pandering.
No. I want to know, what is the worst possible thing that could have happened to me from having poop in my mouth?
I don't know of anything from kudu. Kudu, as I call it?
Yeah,
kudu.
Yeah,
that's, kudu poodoo.
That's way...
It's exotic, but I can't think of anything. Most of the trouble is human.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what's the worst thing that happens if you have human poop in
your mouth? Oh, you can get horrible, all sorts of, all kinds of infectious diseases. I mean, that's the leading means whereby infectious diseases are transmitted, the so-called oral fecal route.
Ooh.
Yeah, hepatitis
A. I've been on that route.
The OF route.
Salmonella, huh? And Shigella and everything.
So if you had to eat human poop in a certain country, what country would it be in, you think?
to do the best?
Yes.
Norway.
Really?
Probably the more north, the better. Maybe even a lot. Probably Norway.
Why? Because the chill of the environment would.
I don't know. They have less of that stuff. It's more as you go towards the warmer climates that stuff. I think it's more that it has to do with the sewage system and anything else.
Oh.
Right. So St. Augustine, yeah. Florida, probably ain't a good place.
But
be.
The point is, not common up there, so you're not going to get
right. Get so it. Norway.
All right, man. I know where my next trip is.
Yeah, all right, that's all right, round one.
Well, I got to pick, right?
Yeah, you got to pick a winner
in
that round.
So very well done, gentlemen. I laughed. I cried. It was a very tough fought. I particularly thought that the unique quality of Matt's story immediately caught my attention. But then the buildup, Theo, on yours. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, yeah. Dropping a little Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
No to Lindsay. Dropping, yes.
I don't even know if that happened or not, but I was all in then. But then, and by the way, it got a little racist, but you sort of redeemed yourself with the Persian girl. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I was sort of uncomfortable for a minute there. I almost almost... I know you.
I'm always uncomfortable.
I understand. I know you.
The thing, he's a fair labeler, though. So he labeled the white guys and the African American guys. So for some reason,
he's an equal. His racism applies to all races, including white. I understand that.
Yes, exactly. Thank
you. And I understand his white privilege didn't give him access to what he wanted. That's good. He's aware of that. But ultimately, because these are both poo stories, it's got to go poo a poo,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to measure the poo stories against one another.
That's true.
It's about the poo here. You guys set it up that way, unfortunately, because you were in with the buildup.
Right.
But when you go poo to poo,
yeah.
You win.
Yes!
Because kudu poo. What the
kudu
hell?
Poo.
Come
I
on.
Agree.
How do you beat that?
I agree.
And Andy threw in the little details like the poo crumbling in his mouth.
Yeah.
That's right. That was it.
I can still taste it.
The sound.
Oh, my little, the Titanic woman. So you got
and
it.
And that detail, too. I caught that detail. That also put me with
it. It just amazed me that he wins all the time with the worst stories.
They're not the worst stories.
I think they are.
They win for a reason.
Just stay with your escapades.
No hearts.
Just stay with your parties.
They have no
All right, let's move on to round two, which is our interview segment where we'll take turns asking you questions.
Right,
so now you are in the hot seat after being the judge.
Yeah, and you're gonna and you can pick who's a better interviewer at the end.
That's really?
Based on whatever you want. Now, my first question is, and you kind of hinted at this before we started recording, but do you get sick and tired of people asking you, look at this for me, what's wrong with me?
No, I don't. I actually don't. There's sort of two answers that I have to give you on this, is that I love people and I love interacting with people. So, and if I can be of service and actually make a difference, I can't get enough of that. So I'm really grateful that I have something that makes a difference and it can really be helpful to people. The bad part is that there's a structure to a relationship with a physician. You know, you walk in, there's a time period, the doctor walks out. When you push me up against the Abba Zabbas at a 7-Eleven, that's never stopping. Right. There's no end. And if I try to get away, it's like, oh, Mr. Celebrity. Oh, I see. We can't. No, dude. I've been here for 20 minutes. They're lined up behind my car. The gas. I gotta go. And so that's uncomfortable. That's
right.
So I try to avoid stuff because of the lack of structure. And what I was complaining about was that if I ask for anything from my audience, particularly like on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
F you.
Wow.
Go to hell. You want me to do what? Listen to your podcast? Screw you.
Wow.
And so somehow I get a pass when I'm with Corolla, because Corolla, they'll do anything he says.
Right.
So when he says, you know, support these sponsors, they're like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're with Corolla? Yes, sir. Got it. But if I were to ask on my own,
no way.
So you're saying we should have had Corolla on the show.
If you want sponsors, if you want your sponsors to make money, that's how you
What's the grossest thing that someone has approached you up on, like on the street, and said, hey, will you look at this?
And shown you.
Like, do they, I'm sure that happens.
It has happened. And I can't think of anything, because I often run away from stuff like that.
But was there ever something that was so severe you had to address it right then?
Oh, like save someone right there.
God, I'm sure there has been. I mean, there's been stuff's happened, you know, where people have run, like, get me, and look, come over here, resuscitate this guy.
Do you ever see, like, giant goiters? Like,
oh, sure.
Oh, they've, those, like, on the street, like, people coming up and saying, well, look at my goiter.
You can see them across the road.
Well, that's true. Goiters really freak me out.
You don't like big thyroids, huh?
It reminds me.
They used to be a sign of beauty. They used to cultivate
big
them.
Big thyroids.
No, they did. If you look at some of these sort of Renaissance or even Baroque era paintings, you'll see these big goiters in this one.
It just makes me think of, like, a twin that didn't develop.
No.
You know, and that's what I picture, the teeth and the little, and that's what it makes me think of, to be honest.
I have an uncle that has a mole that actually looks like him a little bit. So that's funny
looks
you
like
even
Matt,
say that.
Strangely?
Yeah, it kind of looks like his face a little bit. Like, it almost looks like another one of him was trying to come out. And then God shut it down. Okay. I have a question for you. So from, like, an outsider's perspective, and even having gotten to spend some time with you through you guys' podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, do you seem like to have it all put together, you know?
In my life?
Yes, you do. Where does that end? Like, where does it fall apart?
All over the place.
Does it?
Yeah, sure. That's the thing I always find myself saying. Like, if something comes out about me and people are like, oh, I'm like, no, I'm not a perfect human.
Right.
I am not a perfect human. I don't claim to be a perfect human being.
No, you don't claim to be.
I don't want to be a perfect human being, nor do I judge other people about what their things are. I'm interested in helping people that want help.
Right.
That's it. And if it happens to include you're out of control with a substance or a behavior, I'm happy to help. I don't care if they're not out of control and they're enjoying those behaviors, they party on.
That's it.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But, like, some stuff came about me doing cocaine in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that happened. And I was like, I didn't talk about it for a long time because I have a rule that you don't discuss what you did during your adolescence and young adulthood when you have kids. You don't discuss it with your kids. Because they will use that as a justification to start where you left off.
Oh, wow. And is that proven? Is that a documented thing?
Oh,
that
yeah. I've seen it a million times.
Wow.
And so my thing is always, look, we're not discussing it. You know. And so when other people, Stern asked me once, I was like, nah. And I felt bad about it. And I owe him an apology for that. But I felt justified because I'm protecting my kids.
Right.
Now they're 24 years old. Sorry, kids. I'm not perfect. But right. But you want them not to be doing these things. You better not start with. Don't lie to them. Don't lie to your kids. My kids. Don't ever lie to the kids. But if they ask, just go. We're not discussing that.
We're not discussing that.
But it's interesting that you do, because there is that.
And even when they go, "Oh, maybe you did it," has a totally different impact than. Hey, son, when I the spliff we did back in my day,
right.
We sold it in lids, and it was it wasn't shit compared to what you guys have.
Right.
That's Wait, have good. You ever smoked with your kids?
No.
Do you encourage that or no? Them.
No, concerns me. It worries me. Yeah.
In general.
First of all, I think I got panic attacks from it in college when I did it.
Yeah, I do
and,
now.
And this stuff is so strong. Everyone's doing now. It scares the hell. I'm intrigued, but I think I would probably have an adverse reaction. And I've seen so many bad reactions.
And they're getting worse. Do you feel like there's an issue with the fact that they legalized marijuana, but that legalization was based on? Like probably a different type of marijuana than the stuff they're doing now?
No, the legalization is based on the desire of the people. And that's what the law should be determined by to some extent. And if that's what they want, I think our drug laws are sort of crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Alcohol's good. Pot's bad.
Cigarettes are
bad. Heroin's bad, but OxyContin's good. Come on.
Yeah.
They're just stupid laws. But I just think the people wanted to correct that. And now they're learning that it's not the benign thing. And that, you know, I'm here to deal with the consequences. They'll help.
Right.
I was going to say, it's interesting because, like, one time I was at an event and I saw Dr. Oz from, not Dr. Oz, Dr. H from The Biggest Loser. The guy who does
Heisinger. Yeah.
And he was partying.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. He was with Charlie Sheen and he had a hot chick with him and he was drinking. And I was like, I had that kind of response, like, oh, Dr. H.
I'm not too cool with him being with Sheen and partying.
That's true.
But he's entitled to go out and
completely.
Have a drink with his
I have a feeling like if I saw you doing that, I would be
people
a little
do
like,
freak out. Yeah, people. Yeah. If I have a glass of wine, people freak out. it's like, no, I have wine on the weekends. I do. And it's like, no, I'm not the no party guy.
Yeah.
I do a podcast with Duncan Trussell. Do you know Duncan?
Yeah, Duncan's a really unique guy.
Right. And he and I have a great relationship. Yeah. And we like respect and try to understand each other's points of view and stuff. And good on him. That's all I'm saying. I don't care.
Yeah, he's an adventure bear. He's such a unique and he has a special energy in him.
So smart. And,
what's that podcast called?
the Drunken Trussell Family Hour or something. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it's cool. Good.
No, I'm going to have to check it out. So this is my question. So I looked up a couple of other famous Drews, and I came up with Nancy Drew.
Okay.
So I'm going to read three Nancy Drew book titles. Tell me which one is most like your life. The Mystery of the Ivory Charm. The Whispering.
Wait, am I supposed to know what the plots of these books are?
No.
Okay, just the title.
I don't think. The Whispering Statue. The Haunted Bridge. Ooh.
Ooh. I like all these.
The Mystery of the Ivory Charm.
I'm drawn to the Haunted Bridge, yeah. I must tell you.
There's a dark side to you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, but I think the Whispering Statue is more accurate. And as according to Kroll, I'm like working with me is like working with a cigar store Indian. So I imagine he would agree with the Whispering Statue as well.
Wow. That's
but I am drawn enough. I like the idea of the Haunted Bridge. I'm attracted to it.
Fair enough.
Which kind of, I mean, those are good sort of little personality measures.
Yeah, I picked them out specifically.
Yeah. And that is me. I am not all what I appear to be, I guess. Yeah.
And it's not even an appearance. I think it's just your nature and being a doctor as well.
Yeah, being a doctor, being in that role.
Yeah.
And you don't see a doctor a lot of times in the public eye as much. And so that's a unique experience.
It was unique. And it was a rough experience for me because I was, I started doing this when I was like an intern, like a medical student, actually. And I really, I was totally bought into being the best doctor and the best everything, and if my peers looked at me a little askance, it really bothered me.
But because of the public persona?
Well, that's why I didn't use my last name. I made up a name, and I didn't tell anybody I did it. But people caught wind of it eventually, and it's an underling stepping out of line. See,
mm-hmm.
the underling shouldn't be doing that,
right?
But I always felt like, look, I'm 24, and I know what these 17-year-olds are up to, and you guys don't know,
right?
And I need to talk to them. And that was in the early days of AIDS. We weren't even calling it AIDS yet. And
what
I just
did they call it at first?
GRIDS, gay-related intestinal disease syndrome.
Oh.
And we had no causative agent. And then we had the HTLV-3. Remember all that? And then we had the HTLV-1, and then the HIV. And it was in the term safe sex. I was talking about condoms before that term was invented.
Wow.
And condoms were still behind the counter. We still got them. You had to ask the pharmacist to go pull them out with the antihypertensive meds. Oh, absolutely.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. And I just thought it was sort of important to do it. I just thought my instinct was to do it. And so I was forbidden for a while by my residency director. So I took out for a while, but I kind of drifted back. And then that guy made me his chief. I was the chief of the whole operation. And then during that period, he came up to me and goes, "You still doing that radio show? I remember you used to do that. How about I do it now? I'll just take it over for you." I'm like, "Yeah,
wow.
Go ahead. You take it over."
Wow. But did you set out wanting to be
being radio?
Famous?
No.
Famous, or I mean, you do a lot of shows, and you've done a lot of shows over the years, and you were on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, well, that was, do you see the tape on that?
I haven't seen the tape. I just read about it.
I was on Ellen, and they ambushed me with that,
mm-hmm.
and she goes, "How's it feel?" And I go, "Well, everybody, that was probably the thing I feared most in life, that tape would show up somewhere again."
and it did.
It wasn't so bad. Face your fears, everybody.
There you go.
Face your fears. That was because a friend of mine won a car on Wheel of Fortune, and I had a 2-week break between medical school and internship, and I wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Well, shit! If that guy can win a car, I can do that. I got my ass handed to me."
Really? Did you make the panel?
Yeah, no,
he was on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
I auditioned for the show, and then I asked to buy an N, and then that was it.
And anyway, the wheel went against me bad.
As far as the fame aspect of it, do you feel like people have questioned your motives or anything ever through the years?
Yeah, always, I think. Yeah. I think that's why I have to play very... I have to be very clear about my own motivation and what I'm doing and why I do it. And because there's a strange sort of navigation I have to do, which is I'm here to make a difference. That's why I do it. And I'm so grateful that that's what I do, because I can't imagine a worse reason to be here doing media than, hey, it's me.
Right. Like the rest of us.
No, you're trying to make people laugh.
Right.
And you have a craft, and you have a thing. Like musicians have a craft. You know, you have
right,
a craft and
a
purpose. And journalists have a craft. You know, there's people have crafts in media. Reality show participants, not so much.
Yeah, it's dark.
I'm so grateful to have a purpose in doing it. But we're all in this entity where you have to exist before you can do your job. You know what I mean? You have, like, in other words, like people, I'll go do movie roles once in a while just to exist out there. So people go, oh yeah, that's that guy. Oh, I should listen to him, or I should hear him.
Right.
Because you have to do stuff to kind of
advertise.
It's kind of advertising, or just to live in the landscape. So yes. People kind of remember you and, oh yeah, this guy's got information. He's just, yeah. So.
Such as the upcoming Sharknado 4, right?
Yeah, well, that was fun. That was just okay. Fun. That was just. Sometimes I'll do stuff just to be a part
fun.
Of.
Okay.
Be a part of culture for fun, or just to participate in culture, as long as it doesn't diminish anything.
Gotcha.
Or divert.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, your existence and your path in Hollywood is so unique because, I mean, medicine is such a revered, and even I'm sure, like when you were coming up, like you're saying in your 20s, mm-hmm. I mean. A lot of those guys, like the older guys, will look down upon the, you know, I'm sure there's a real hierarchy.
People thought I was bizarre. Something wrong with me. One thing I learned by doing that and trusting my instincts that there was something important to be done through media. That was my naive idea was that radio had been such a negative influence on health. Maybe radio could be a positive influence on health. That was the sort of little idea I started with. And because that was a pretty clear and good instinct, I don't question young people's instincts anymore. If they have a clear instinct, just go with it. Don't as if you're my age and you're going to question a 24-year-old's instinct at your own peril.
Right.
You know, because they usually see and experience things differently than people have been around a long time.
Speaking of the radio, so do you miss Loveline?
No.
No?
I mean, I kind of do, but I'm so much healthier and having REM sleep again, and I feel so much better that compensates me. I miss my producer. I miss my engineer. I miss seeing Mike more every day. And I miss the callers. I miss, you know, being able to in real time interact. But we do some of that on the Adam and Drew show.
Right.
So I still got
the What do you think? Someone wrote in that they said Amber Rose said that she was taking over Loveline, or she was bringing it back.
They're doing something
what
like
do you think
that.
About I think that?
On VH1 or something. It's been tried a million times. Enjoy. Yeah. Go ahead, everybody.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. It's a really specific thing, and people don't understand what it is. So
right.
Okay. You seem to be someone that takes advantage of your time, like on this planet and in existence. What is a skill that you feel like that you would love to learn, but you don't think you're going to have the time?
Oh, a million things.
Are there? What's one that really stands out?
I would say speaking a couple more languages and getting back on an instrument, piano.
Yeah.
Piano really bothers me that there won't be time for that,
right.
And especially the language thing. For some reason lately, that's really been bothering me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I've read, online that you're like a religiously, you don't have much of a belief system religiously. Or you just don't like to discuss it?
No, I just I'm just sort of agnostic.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, once you had children, did that adjust your belief? Because then I'm sure you love your children so much that you want to. That it might alter your mindset because you want to believe in like an afterlife or an environment where you will be able to see them again?
There's no doubt in my mind that when I'm faced with that kind of stuff, I'll have to retreat to those ideas to survive it. Cultivating it in my day in, day out life, it doesn't work for me.
Doesn't do it now. Yeah.
No, but I know I have actually jealousy of people that have a deep faith in that kind of thing, because
right.
It is very reassuring. And I deal with death and dying all the time as a physician. I mean, people go to their internist to die. That's something I learned early on in my training.
Wow.
And so death, once all the oncologists are done, and once the specialists are done, the surgeons are done, they hand you back the patient, and they're done fixing things. There's no more fixing.
Yeah.
They just jump off the ship.
Yeah.
And so I dealt with it a lot, and I admired when people had a really deep concept about that, and maybe they're right. I don't know.
So then how do you cope with it?
With death and dying?
Yeah, like when especially faced with it so much.
It becomes a very concrete reality as much as any other part of life, and so to me it becomes important to do it with dignity and purpose, and the way they live should be the way they die. I see it as a very. It can be a glorious thing. It's not fun. It's not painful.
Right.
And it's sad for everyone that has a loss. But you can, young people dying. I see. I'm not a pediatrician.
Right.
I couldn't deal with kids dying. I could not deal with it. But you can even adults, even otherwise healthy, younger or middle aged adults. You can make purpose of things. You can make meaning of it.
Have you been the last person that people are dying have spoken to? Have you had any of that experience? Like.
And people die right in front of me?
Yeah.
A ton.
Is there...
I've got some strange stories like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, like what?
Yeah. There are people even that I've had to dial off the stuff that was...
No!
Yeah,
turning down the volume, huh?
Yeah. Wow. That was really rough. Because I was working for a cardiologist. I was a resident then. They were like, dial it. I go, dude, she's not going to make it. stop the med, you know, okay. And you know, when you're, it's a military system in medicine. You gotta,
it is.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
I had a guy once sit up, older man, much older, and sort of demented. He's probably in his 90s, and he sits up. He was confused and babbling, blah, 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 sort of flailing. And all of a sudden, he sat up in bed and he looks at his family and says, "I have an appointment with Tom Smith at 1 o'clock. Don't let me forget." And then went right back down and blah, 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 blah. Well, Tom Smith's been dead for a couple of years as his best friend.
Wow.
1 o'clock, this guy died.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's bizarre.
Crazy. Yeah. So, coincidence? I don't know.
Well, speaking
of. Great magnet? God? I don't know. I don't know what that was.
To who? Wow. What video boy asked, which celebrity death that you worked with has affected you the most?
Death? God, they all affected me a lot.
Really?
And differently.
So they get to you when you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Probably if I had, you know, it's like picking your children.
Of course.
Probably Rodney.
Yeah.
Rodney was one of the sweetest, most delight. He's rough around the edges when he drank. Make no mistake about it.
Dangerfield? But,
no, Rodney King.
Oh, Rodney King. Sorry.
And when he died a cardiac death. Again, I got blamed for that too. I get blamed for everything.
Right.
He died a cardiac death, everybody. He had a congestive heart failure and fell in a pool and drowned.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's how he died. But he was just the most, just a really delightful human being.
Hmm. Wow.
And I was thinking about him the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I actually, at one point, put him in charge of the unit because there was so much chaos. And I said, I'm putting this guy in charge.
Hmm.
And it made him feel really good about mm-hmm. himself. And he just, like a gentle giant, man, just got to control everybody. He was very respectful, but nobody screwed with him.
Yeah. Did you feel like there was some, like, it was... The reason that, did you ever feel like maybe the reason that, you know, what happened to Rodney King and those events in his life, like he was a perfect candidate for that in a weird way? Like, do you ever?
For the beating?
Yeah. Like, not that anybody deserves to be beaten, but that there was something about him that would be able to use that as like, it would come through in a positive way afterwards. Does that make sense? Kind of? Like it would influence and make change. Like,
yeah, but I think that's lucky. Because it was just some guy with a video camera across the street.
Right. You know,
I've stood on that spot with Rodney where that happened. There's like a children's museum there now, which is
wow.
crazy. And, you know, the fact that he, you know, said, "Can't we all get along?" That was not Coach. That's Rodney. That's
right.
Full on Rodney. I knew his mom and his family. Just a great guy.
Mm. Now,
but terrible alcoholic.
Right.
You know, and in your disease, you do things you wouldn't otherwise do. So.
Who is the most challenging celebrity on screen or off that you've had that you've worked with that has just been
I can't
the most
tell time. You about off, okay. right?
Right.
There have been a few. but I have sort of two answers to on screen. Oh crap, I'm forgetting her name. Mary she's
Mary Tyler Moore?
No.
Yeah.
Is it Mary?
No. She was on the
anyway, she was the one that always went, get my juice every morning. Do you remember this?
No, no.
Carrie Ann Paniche.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
She was tough, but she was just tough, you know, behaviorally and stuff. And I ended up having a lot of affection for her. The hardest overall for me was Jeff Conway.
Yeah.
Because he represents really why I got out of treatment, which is I got tired of fighting that, which is my peers. I would literally have Jeff in no pain. He would get up and tap dance for me. And 2 weeks later, my peers would put him back on opiates and benzodiazepines.
Yeah.
And that's what he died of people putting him back. He was actually at one point in a nursing home because that's the only way they could safely give him that many meds.
Wow.
And nobody went, this guy's a drug addict. Can we take him off, please?
Right.
And I was fighting. And they just... They eventually killed him.
Wow.
And what do you think is one of the biggest problems facing human beings and medicine today?
Human beings or Americans?
Americans.
Yeah. I'm just noticing, and this is not a medical thing per se right now. Well, I guess let me just say the medical thing is people need to get used to the fact that we're biological. We need to teach people about how biology works. They have just absolute magical thinking about it. Biological systems are infinitely complex,
right.
Way more complex than anything else you will deal with on Earth, especially human biology. And you need to get a feel for how that works. Then you'll stop falling for these stupid diets and you'll stop thinking they're magical cures for cancer. And you will stop your simplistic thinking. We also have to realize because we're biological, we get sick and we die. that needs to be, we gotta have to like live with that more.
Right.
It'll help us live better, I suspect, and we'll be more compassionate towards people that do get sick. But that all aside, I feel like men are languishing right now. Something's going on with American men.
Yeah.
We see it statistically in middle-aged white men killing themselves off the chain all of a sudden. Hmm. Also, the incidence of all that opioid, I consider that the same problem. They're effectively dead. Mm-hmm. All the opioids in the man and the pain and blah, blah, blah. And then the young men are sort of languishing and unhappy and not motivated normally, can't find passion, getting subverted into ISIS and things. I mean, there's... something's not right, and right. And I can't quite characterize it in a simple sentence yet.
Manhood, something's wrong with manhood.
Something with man, right? I do not.
Oh, I think that 100%.
What do you think it is?
For me, I really feel like that, like women have evolved more into like, and I don't want to say like an equal species, but equal in more ways than there's not as much gender roles anymore.
Okay,
and so that,
why does that make us sick?
Because I think as a man, you need that difference to have a lot of whatever like drives you and inspires you. I feel like that's kind of where the yin and the yang was a little bit, and that kind of woke you up every day as a man. And like,
but the woman created that
by women like trying to be, I think, more exactly like men. I think it's
drilled us down somehow.
Yeah, it's like, well, then what do I like? What do I do? Who do I? What do I do as a man?
I agree with you on.
And I'm not super organized with my thoughts all the time.
No. Yeah, you are. I agree with you on what they're experiencing. I'm not ready to lay it at the blame at anything yet.
Right.
Women, affirmative action, whatever you want, you can blame a lot of places because there's a lot of stuff changing.
Right. But a lot of stuff changing.
But why isn't that inspiring us? Or why don't we? We could just as easily go, well, I'm going to fight that much harder then. Or God damn it, I'm going to, you know. We have the opposite, where they just roll over.
Right.
And then that's got to have something to do with our parenting of the baby boomers.
Oh, that's going
to
be it, too.
It's got to be something, that's interesting. Something we're doing. But then why would that translate into middle-aged men?
Yeah, right.
So I'm all over the place with it. It's just something I'm thinking a lot about.
Maybe it's technology. Who knows? Maybe
that all figures into
it. But our limbic system is like dying, I think, as men.
Limbic system dying. The technology and the porn is too much. Wait till virtual reality takes us out. That'll be the end of mankind.
I'm trying to stay off porn. I'm 8 days clean right now.
Good for you.
And I'm noticing little bitty changes in myself that are helping. And it's been a decade.
And not only that, you'll start to have feelings that you don't expect. That's the big thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping for those.
No, you will. A bunch of affect will emerge. You may not like it. You'll start to have feelings. Yeah, that's usually what you're covering for, is something that's kind of, you're managing with it.
Dang.
Yeah, sorry.
No, thank you.
It's probably when you shit off the boat. That.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end. Let me add, I want to ask about a couple people in the public eye now and your thoughts.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the Selma Blair's thing?
I did. I felt bad for her.
Yeah, what did you think? It was a combination.
It was clearly a medication or a substance reaction. She got the message. Good on her. You know what I mean?
Right.
And how humiliating. Not just.
But she said some crazy shit. Like, the guy's coming after me.
Yeah, she was nuts. She was not well.
And that happens when you drink and you.
Well, I don't know what constellation of problems this woman's dealing with, but the fact she's taken off on a stretcher, I mean, how humiliating. I hope that's her bottom, and I hope she takes care of herself. Because those things end up being good sometimes. And she did, I mean, exactly the right thing. She said, this is not me. This is humiliating. Right. I'm going to take care of this. Now let's see if she does.
Is it a sign of a problem? Well, I mean, if you're getting carried out in a stretcher.
Yeah, I mean, is she being mismanaged? Did a doctor do that to her? It's possible. Yeah. Is it a substance problem and improper medicine? Or is it just the substance? Or is there a personality issue? Yeah. Is there a bipolar problem? Lots of possibilities here. So the fact, though, that she, what I always look for is not how sick people are. I look for them to seek treatment, engage in treatment.
Right.
Because we can do great. We can treat almost anything when people are engaged.
Right.
The conundrum always is getting people engaged in treatment, which is they don't want to.
Right.
That's the hard part.
Secondly, Ben Affleck. And
what did you think
drunk,
about that?
What did you think about last that? Night.
The guy from Boston that's passionate about his team, period, end.
Really?
Who maybe didn't sleep well the night before. Please, everybody, I guarantee you, lay off Ben Affleck.
He was slurring a little bit.
He was slurring a little bit. I get that way. We're not young men, he or I. Yeah. And when we miss some sleep or we travel, that happens naturally.
Yeah.
You can't fire off that kind of a diatribe. I mean, maybe a little alcohol, maybe. But, yeah, you know, he's a guy that's been treated for addiction. So if it was related to alcohol, he needs to take care of that. But it's not like he was wasted. It's not like this was man not in his right mind.
Right.
To me, it's more about us. What the matter with us? We have to pick that apart. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Guy makes good films.
Yeah.
Alone.
It was cool. It was nice to see. First of all, it was nice to see a celebrity open up about like and be like so passionate about something.
Thank you. That should have been the reaction as opposed to the Twitter mob, which goes, we got to take him down. Take him down. Yeah.
Very quick to do that.
That's the worst in humanity. Why we don't see it as such. It's human sacrifice. That's what that impulse is. Throw him in the volcano.
Yeah. Right.
And lastly, when you see someone like Taylor Swift who dates a lot in the public eye and she dates different guys and moves on and on, what comes to your mind with that? What do you think?
What do I think she is?
Yeah, like
you don't know how much is manufactured, right? We don't know.
True.
Because she's pretty glossy.
That's true. So, but I'm exactly.
She's not dating us.
Put your name in the ring.
Anything can happen.
That kind of serial stuff looks like love addiction.
Yeah.
That's one way of conceptualizing that.
Love addiction.
Yeah.
So you're addicted to the idea of being in love, but
you get in deep fast and you idealize the other person and you have lots of fantasies attached to that and then you can't quite get out and then the person, because you go so deep so fast, the other person feels like it's clingy and the other person sabotages and
then the cycle just repeats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, what is the strangest addiction that you've ever come across?
You're asking me to remember things. I see so much good stuff.
I mean, I've seen those shows where like people eat sofa.
The weird stuff I've seen is on those shows.
Yeah, people eating their own hair.
Yeah.
Trying to lick their ears. But one guy tried to lick his ears for years and finally could kind of lick it.
No, for God's sakes.
He accomplished what he set out to do.
That's bizarre.
The reality is most of the addiction I dealt with is traditional.
Gotcha.
I have a question, and this was from a friend of yours, associate. When was the last time you got roadhead?
That was a couple months ago.
Okay, right on.
Wow.
Now, what's the medical condition with that?
Medical condition. No,
it's just good old-fashioned roadhead.
Yeah.
Was this in traffic, I hope? Not like at full speed?
No, not at full speed.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, what's worse, getting for?
I have a great wife.
That's awesome. I was on your wife's podcast one time. Very lovely. Pretty lady.
Medically speaking, what's worse, to be texting while you're driving or be getting roadhead while you're driving?
Texting's way worse. Much harder. You have to take your eyes off the road.
There's a lot of chemicals, though, and stuff when you're getting other stuff.
Well, if you can't control yourself, you better do a self-assessment on that.
Fair enough. So, look.
And see, I don't have a prostate anymore, right? I have prostate cancer.
Oh, right.
And so no fuss, no muss with me.
That's awesome. Yeah. So kids, put down those phones and open up those mouths, you know? It's time to party.
I have a question from Renda Sweeney. If you could strangle any of the Team Mom people, who would it be?
Farrah.
Farrah?
Yeah. Sorry, Farrah. I'm sorry. No, she's not awful. She's frustrating. She's not awful. She's not awful. I mean, she suffers. Believe me, when people behave like that, it's because they're suffering.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel bad for her a lot, but she can be very frustrating.
And then the same person
asks. Farrah.
I like Farrah.
Yeah, I like her too.
Yeah.
That
was sexy, I think.
She's a beautiful woman. And she's a woman now. I dealt with them when they were teenagers. You know, it was.
She's thirsty. Now, who's that thirsty?
What do you mean?
You know, she's thirsty for that attention. It just really bothers the hell out of me.
Yeah, but it's her. That's just her job.
Yeah, she's brought up in that now too.
So she has embraced it, and this is what she's going to do. And she doesn't have other skills or training. And you know, she's got a mom that encourages her to do that stuff, and her dad that's kind of weirdly ambivalent about it. Mm. He's having a tough time himself, and then she was led in by people that she trusted, and then feels as though she was exploited, and didn't really get things weren't the way she intended them. Because she's, she's trying to navigate through this crazy world she's in. I feel bad.
You're so good at processing. If you're like an early Mac, kind of, you know
what?
You're like, he's so good at like processing things. You know?
You are good at processing.
Yeah.
The same person asked, "How can you sit on a stage with Adam Lin and not want to knock him the fuck out?"
Oh, Adam, the boyfriend.
Yeah.
How can you sit on stage with these? I have deep affection for almost everyone on that show.
Yeah.
So these are
the Teen Mommers.
And my job as a clinician is always to empathize with people and see their point of view and to try to understand their pain and stuff. And I've been with these kids a long time and I do understand them. I tell you what does frustrate me is people expecting me to treat them. I do a one-hour talk show with them where I explore their lives, and I offer myself as a resource to them. They all have my phone number, but I'm guiding. At most, I will refer them to somebody, guide them. I don't treat them. And people out in social media think, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that?
So then you're responsible.
I'm hosting a talk show.
Right. Fair enough.
But I have some skills where I understand how to navigate into the emotional landscape, and we get into it a little bit, and I try to kind of help a little bit in the context of this talking we're doing. That is not treatment. Right. They know it's not treatment. I don't know why the audience doesn't know it's not treatment. That's bizarre to me. I guess they get so used to thinking that what Dr. Phil is doing is treatment.
Right. Well, these days,
that is not treatment. It's not treatment. That's the opposite of treatment. That is reinforcing defenses. And of course, he refers for treatment too, right? He goes, oh, we're going to get
Of course.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. He's doing his job on TV, and then he refers people for treatment.
Do you think he's actually ending up helping getting people treatment?
I think so. I mean, I bothers me. If he thinks he's doing treatment, that would be bad.
Right.
Right.
But I think he knows what he's doing.
Interesting.
Was there ever one of the teen moms that, like, at obviously, because when you first started working with them, they were teens and they were adults, where, like, you were like, oh, this is a teenager, this is a child. But as they grew, they were obviously, then they were women. You went from, like, there was no attraction that there was an attraction to one of them?
Ooh. Me attracted? No.
I mean, just because
that sounds almost funny. It's like almost like you were saying that about your kids or something. It sounds funny to me. It may not sound funny to you, I understand.
Right.
But it's funny to me. It's
I like how you prefaced it after they were out of their teens.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, I guess
at first you're seeing them as children.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, I see them as who they are. You know what I mean? They're not objects of anything for me other than people who've been really struggling and have been good enough to share their lives with people. And they're, you know, a lot of them, you don't get pregnant at 16 because you don't have liabilities. You know?
Right,
that's an at-risk youth by definition.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, most of my neighborhood was pregnant.
Do you see doctors who do take advantage of people in weak states for whatever reason? I mean, including, you know, I do believe there's a problem with the prescribing and stuff like Prince and all that.
Oh, please.
But do you see people who you seem like a really good guy and you have a little bit of power over people when you are a doctor?
I read about it and I hear about it in the media and stuff. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
I've seen people show bad judgment, they make bad calls and that kind of stuff, but I've never. It's remarkable. That's one of the things I remember early in my training. I'm like, oh my God, my peers, I've never seen such a well-meaning, self-sacrificing group of people.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, they're all, everyone that was my age in training, they were all like, whoa, I got to like check myself all the time to make sure I keep up with these guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And I do want to ask about the opera singing too.
Okay.
I saw the video.
Which one?
The one on TMZ where you were singing the national anthem.
At Staples?
Yeah.
Or not because I did Dodger Stadium.
And I can tell you got to flare up about this. You like this.
I love it.
Cool.
For 5 minutes, I thought I was going to be an opera singer when I was like 20, 19.
That's so awesome. Did you go to like a big tryout or something like that?
I was going to, and then I got off that train wisely and got back into the sciences. So.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But then I always trained. I always did music and stuff.
Do you like singing at home? Like, are you singing opera?
My son's a real musician. And so I just like handed the mantle over to him.
Okay.
My mom was an opera singer, strangely. And I grew up hating it.
But she would sing all the time?
She wouldn't sing, but she'd have the stuff playing and stuff. I was like, oh, whoa. And then all of a sudden I found my way to it. It's weird. Yeah.
So do you sing opera in the shower?
Sometimes, a little bit.
Wow. It
sounds better there.
That's cool.
I'm just picturing, I was picturing the Roadhead, and now I'm picturing the shower and the opera.
The car is more. You put those all together somehow.
But it's crazy.
The car is more where I sing, believe it or not.
I bet it is, dude. You live a charmed life, bro. I'd be hitting some high notes at every open road.
Sweet song.
Is that round two?
I have one last one.
By the way, people want to, I was just thinking about the prostate cancer thing. At PCF.org, I'm very involved with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, which is having massive breakthroughs in cancer treatment, and what we're doing with prostate cancer is going to affect many other cancers. So please check PCF out.
All right. Well, then that wraps up round two. You have to pick a winner of said round.
Oh,
yeah.
I wasn't thinking that.
Our guests always forget that.
They always forget that.
Yeah.
Our conversation is so.
Can I abstain? Because you guys ask very different and good questions. They're very different.
You can abstain.
And it's almost, again, unless you get to poo-to-poo head-to-head like you had before.
Right, it's tough to evaluate.
It's not a fair evaluation.
I mean, we call that kind of pussying out.
I think you were more prepared. I'll give you that.
Well, I was looking at my phone.
But you had some stuff, too. I know you did, but I think you were more prepared.
I am looking at my notes.
No, I know you had notes. I knew you did, but he had more of the question.
Agreed.
Stuff.
There you go. All right. So for what that's worth,
that's all right. I'm going to come in hard on the third round.
Okay. Round three, which is our mini competition.
All right. Here
okay.
we go.
And so our specific mini competition.
We have our producer Hal Isaacson is here
you
today.
You guys have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So our specific mini competition is Dr. Drew here is going to give us symptoms of a STD.
Mm-hmm.
And just one? I'll do a whole series.
Do a couple.
We'll do a few.
And then we'll see. Theo and I have to guess what it is.
I'll do a bunch of them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, good.
You come in, your partner's got gonorrhea. You haven't had sex with her. She hasn't been cheating. What do you have?
You come in. Your partner has got a...
You come inside.
No. You come into me with your partner.
Oh, you come in with a partner.
You come with me, and you're like, I don't know what's going on. She has gonorrhea, and...
we haven't been having sex.
She and I have not been having intercourse. We've not been having intercourse. I promise you. And of course, doctors, we always go, yeah, they're lying. That's what we assume always.
Right.
But you're not... Let's for a fact, not intercourse. You get around a little bit yourself.
And you have something. So this guy has something.
Well, yeah, okay. I'll say yes. You have something.
Okay.
What do you have?
The guy has...
The clap.
Where? Well, because she has the clap. She has gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea is the clap?
Yeah.
Wait, is gonorrhea chlamydia?
No. Well, clap is really gonorrhea classically.
Oh, I didn't know
that. The guy has oral gonorrhea.
Yes. There you
go. What?
Right, dude, that's what he's got. And it has no. And oral gonorrea has no symptoms.
Oh.
No, you have it.
What about even bad breath?
Typically no symptoms.
So then what? Wow. All right, okay.
Right. You have to come out with a gum for that.
You come in.
You come out with a gum for that.
You come to me. You
okay. One for you.
You resist coming to doctors. You hate going to doctors, which is all guys. And you have a rash on your palms. It's a very strange rash, red blotchy rash on your palms. And you've noticed some lymph nodes swollen up on your arm here and there. And but the rash is fading, so you almost didn't make your appointment. So
It's not just friction from over masturbation.
No, it's not. It's on both hands. It's symmetric and it's a rash. It is a rash. It's maybe a little bit on your feet too.
Okay. Okay.
You have both hands, on your feet, and it's fading.
It's fading. And maybe you're trying to remember and you think maybe you had a sore on your penis, but it didn't hurt or anything. So it went away. It's no big deal. So I didn't come in for that.
Right. I love that you're really playing the part. I love it. Okay.
It's.
I'll keep going.
Yeah.
You did
syphilis.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes, I knew it on the top of my. I knew it.
Well done.
You knew it on the top of your what?
It was on the tip of my.
Where his chancre was. Chancre is a painless ulcer that goes away. Most people don't get the ulcer occurs usually at the point of contact, goes away, and then you get secondary syphilis, which is typically a rash. And there can be gummas, and there can be other things that can have developed. And then that goes away, and then a certain percentage of people get something called tertiary syphilis, where it gets into your cerebral spinal fluid and eats your brain.
No way.
So
if you meet a real dumb chick, she could have that, or dumb boy. Everybody's equal.
All right. So
it's 1-1.
1-1.
Wow.
Do we have to be you guys or can I bring a woman in?
Oh, yeah, bring a woman in. Yeah, this is just
woman comes in.
This is not us, by the way.
She's got a bad yeast infection. It keeps coming back. Oh. Mm-hmm. But her lymph nodes are really swollen in her groin. They really hurt and they bother and she feels kind of tired and crappy. And this yeast infection. I've used all the yeast medication. It doesn't seem to go away. And it just keeps going. It's burning. It's bad.
Oh, I know this one.
Okay.
Because I know someone who has it, I think.
Oh.
It
will. If she waited long enough, it would go away.
Right, right.
Oh, this is...
Her boyfriend had something like this. This had a red mark that he kind of said...
Rabies.
Kind of said hurt. It was on his penis. I don't remember. He didn't really show me. It's been, I don't know. He didn't really think anything of it. But he had the same thing on his lymph nodes.
Let me text someone really quick and ask them what they have. No, I know this. I know it. I know exactly what it is. And it's...
Gonorrhea.
No. Shit.
It's an easy one.
I know it is. Because it's not like life-threatening.
No.
It's, chlamydia.
No, it's...
one of the classics.
HPV.
No, that's usually you don't know you have it because abnormal paps can cause warts, but all the people need to get their vaccines for the HPV. I've been chanting about that for years, and finally people are coming around to that. So prevent cancer, get your HPV vaccine.
Maybe they'll sponsor
it. Say what?
This is also a virus, and people are struggling to create a vaccine against it.
And it's not rabies, huh?
It's herpes.
Herpes, that's it. And yeah, oh, yes, I was thinking of the mouth.
No, but it's,
no, you weren't thinking of anything.
No, I was. I was it thinking it was something that could be on the mouth because,
yes,
like,
right,
there
right.
have been celebrities who have the sores and stuff on it, and then you think,
all right,
herpes. All right, tied. So we need a tiebreaker. We need to get one.
Do you want me to go obscure? I mean, do you know obscure STDs?
Let's, I'll try
things?
Obscure.
Probably. I don't think we know obscure.
Yeah.
I don't know much about vaginas in general.
Oh, hush, dude.
Okay, this is a... let's try this. You won't know these.
I'll try.
Okay. I live in a tropical area, and I've got this shaggy ulcer on my penis, and these huge lymph nodes developing. And this ulcer, and not going away. It is. I can only describe. It doesn't really hurt, but it, well, it kind of does. But it's looks like a giant clam on my penis. It's nasty looking.
Gout.
It's called chancroid.
Gangrene.
Chancroid.
Okay.
Oh, chancroid. I want to get that. No. Chancroid. That sounds crazy.
Okay.
All right.
Let me think here. We're going through the classics.
Yeah, we are going through the classics. There's got to be one more that we don't have.
They're obscure stuff that happens. Let me think here. I like a little anal play.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on a loop. And I've noticed these sort of skin tags around my anus there, and they seem to be getting more of them.
Anal warts.
There it is.
Boom. Touchdown. I saw this girl in Nebraska had them. Touchdown, bro.
That's associated with anal cancer too. So everybody, get
are
your
they
vaccine.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, Margaret Ann. Then, if you are listening, I didn't even tell her about him, but I saw him, and you probably need to get brushed up.
What did you do when you saw him?
I didn't say anything.
You just went along. You
he
kept
went about
going?
His business.
Yeah, we weren't doing any butt.
Did you hear what he said? You should get the vaccine right away.
I've been checked out since then. I'm good. But this
well, you can't really check the mail for HPV.
You can't.
Not you can if the warts develop, obviously. But there's really no other way to check the mail.
All right. Well, Margaret Ann, I'll get checked out as well.
Is there anything that disgusts you?
You know, I've seen terrible things. In terms of body fluids, really bad sputum will get to me.
Sputum.
They're coughing out of your lungs. Stuff you can cough up out of your lungs.
You can
bring up horrible things.
That's gross.
It's just for the record books, like, I mean, this has been on my mind. Sometimes I'm driving around thinking about, you know, honestly, a little bit of pussy.
Really?
And, sometimes. And do you think, some women have like an ejaculate, right?
Yes, yes.
Is that? Is it urine?
Mostly.
I knew it.
Mostly. Not necessarily, but some women produce some other fluids out of the periurethral gland.
Right.
And it turns out that women have a gland that sits over the urethra that, if you look at it in a microscope, looks just like a prostate gland, which is what produces our semen.
Right.
And some women have more of that, and they can produce some fluid out of that.
You know what? You can have the win. You've been in the trenches much more than I have, so.
You don't like you have OCD, is what
yes,
you have.
I do, but I also... I'm gay, so the women thing freaks me out more than the germs, actually.
Oh, how interesting.
Dr. Drew, thank you for coming in here, man.
I'm glad
thank
I came.
You so much.
No pun intended.
And we can catch you, obviously, every week on the Adam and Dr. Drew
Five
show.
5 days a week
Five
now.
Days a week.
And then HLN, please support that show, or 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 Eastern, and the Dr. Drew podcast and the This Life podcast. And I appreciate the Teen Mom fans out there that are fans of your guys,
because
that show has had a dramatically positive impact. I knew it would have an impact on teen pregnancy, and it has.
Has it really?
They've published now a couple of academic studies that show the higher the viewership in a given community, the lower the teen pregnancy rate.
Wow!
And the teen pregnancy rate in the country began falling like rapidly the quarter that the show started airing. And it's hit a nadir now where it's lower than it's been in the 1940s.
Really? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Way to go, teens. Good. Dr. Drew, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.